Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button on iTunes. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, some kings, queens, and princesses, Corey Waldron, Jay Christian, Jacob Hershon. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
What's up, what's up?
I think we need to clarify who the princess is before we go into the
I'm a little worried. I'll let you guys decide that.
Hey, I'm comfortable taking a princess role. I'm comfortable with my masculinity. I can take that.
I was about to say, I think I by default went to queen because I just accepted it once Nick was like, here's the queen. I was like, yeah, hello, everybody. So, okay. Well, by default, I took that role.
This worked out pretty well for me, huh?
And you didn't even have to say a word. All right, but today we are going to talk about the episode of Monday Night Raw. I mean, Knicks and Cavs we saw on Monday. Ton of action pregame, during the game, and postgame. We'll start pregame. LeBron was talking to the media. He mentioned that he thought Dennis Smith Jr. should be a Knick. And, you know, New York fans, Kristaps Porzingis, Enes Kanter weren't too happy about it. They responded saying they're happy with Frank. They're going to defend this organization. And I don't know why he said that. And then LeBron the next day clarified. He said that was shots at Phil Jackson. And then he kind of laughed at Kanter. And he's like, you know, what's wrong with that guy? What are your thoughts on the first day of all the drama?
I think LeBron, he straddles the line, right, between sort of the old school guys, you know, vintage Jordan and Kobe, and that NBA that he entered when he was 18 years old, you know, back in 2003. And then he's sort of the bridge to these new guys, right, that are wearing the skinny jeans and hanging out with Travis Scott, right, the James Hardens and the Russell Westbrooks of the world. So I say all that to say he leverages the social media and the subtweets, and he's the king of that, right? I mean, quite literally. I thought they were benign comments at first. I think Dennis Smith is really freaking good and could be rookie of the year. And yeah, the Knicks probably should have taken him. And I thought on its own, it's just a good comment. I didn't think of it as a shot at Frank or anybody else other than Phil Jackson. Now, when he said it, I was like, oh, that's definitely a Phil. But I didn't think that was a slight on the kid. I didn't think it was a slight on Frank's game or anything. I thought it just said very obvious point. Dennis is really freaking good. And then, you know, he goes back and sort of revels in it when, you know, Kristaps and Kanter, who is just so ride or die. I mean, Kanter wasn't even there last year. Why does he care so much? I guess he's the new Oakley, I guess. But my thought was kind of much ado about nothing.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of a weird comment by LeBron. I agree with some of what you said, Jay, but like at the same time, I felt like it sort of just came out of nowhere. I just didn't understand why he was talking about the Knicks, and it's like, the thing that left me sort of confused is LeBron was so willing to make it a shot at Phil Jackson, you know, the next day. Like, why didn't he just lead with that, you know? Like, why not, instead of saying, like, oh, the Knicks should really have Dennis Smith Jr., he should have just said, wow, Phil Jackson really screwed that one up, like, you know, classic Phil. So I thought it was weird. LeBron can be such a, like, strange, passive-aggressive guy sometimes, which is honestly one of my favorite qualities about him. Like, I love the just sort of, like, random pettiness that he brings to the table. I also don't know if I agree. I really like Frankie Ntilikina, and I love the defensive intensity he's bringing. I think it's super rare to see like a rookie playing defense at such like a veteran level that he's been playing at right now. I love the chemistry with him and Kristaps. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think LeBron was like trying to specifically take a shot at Frankie. Like, I'm sure he just really liked Dennis Smith Jr., but I kind of was unclear on why he brought the Knicks into the equation in the first place, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think it was more of him just praising Dennis Smith Jr. rather than throwing a shot at Frank. I mean, I tweeted this the other day, and even though, you know, you can pick whoever you want in the draft, you know, most people can say to a degree that Dennis Smith Jr. is probably the guy the Knicks should have taken. It's not like LeBron was saying something that the media didn't say, like, on draft night. They didn't say after summer league. I mean, like, this has been something we've heard throughout the media since Dennis Smith Jr. was not drafted by the Knicks. So, yeah, it's kind of weird that LeBron said that, but it's not like something that no one has ever heard of before. It was so, to me, like, you know, the media was like, oh, my God, LeBron, like, how dare you say that? But I don't know. To me, it's a little bit overblown.
Yeah, I mean, everything always gets overblown, especially when it's LeBron. Like you said, Jake, passive-aggressive LeBron is always the best. But then we had the game. We had the game. Luckily, we were lucky enough to see these two teams face off on Monday night. It was a little chippy in the beginning. I think KP got two early fouls. Kanter and LeBron definitely were banging around a little early, especially on every pick and roll. Next thing you know, LeBron has a big play. The ball's on the ground. Frank picks it up, bumps into LeBron. LeBron doesn't move, holds his ground, stands there. He gets bumped into again. Cantor comes running down, gets in LeBron's face, and they're chatting. What were your thoughts on this little incident in the game?
Stands his ground. He didn't move. He didn't, like, it's like if I bumped into a kid at the playground, like, oh, sorry, little man. Like, if I was walking, like, to the bus and some little kid was, like, Frank loaded up, too. God bless him. And then LeBron was like, what was that? And then Cantor comes out of the rafters like Sting. I didn't know what was – he ran up and then – here's the thing. Okay, so about that fight, I thought it was funny as hell, first of all, because nobody fights. Like, you know, it's one thing Barkley always says, you know, it's just a case of two guys who can't fight, right? Cantor swoops in, right? Like, he's running into the Royal Rumble and just gives LeBron, like, this whispering of a lifetime, right? They're just kind of side by side, like, just in each other's ear, like, oh, that's his uncomfortable. Like, what is this about? And then I know a lot of people were like, well, you know, Cantor is, he's, you know, going to war literally with the Turkish government, and he's not scared of LeBron. My thing is, okay, why didn't you hit him then? Why'd you run up and just start, you know, telling him what it wasn't going to be, right? Like, I don't think it was as hardcore as, you know, Oakley or Mason or even Sprewell back in the day for the Knicks, right? I mean, I get it. He's defending his guy. And, you know, it's kind of like I've been at the bar and done this before, and maybe you guys have too. Your boys sort of hype you up and you're like, oh, now hold me back, dog. Hold my shirt. Let me get, you know, you take off your chain and your watch or whatever it is, right? Which, by the way, my chain was not like platinum. It was just like a cheap, like, flea market chain. But I still took it off when I was ready to strap. And my guy is just there and it's like, okay, if you're going to swing, swing. If not, you look stupid. Like, this whispering looks stupid to me. And LeBron, he's not a brawler either. LeBron didn't want any problems either. But it's just... NBA fights will never not be funny to me, or I say fights with air quotes. It's just, it's always comedy because it's like, none of you guys are going to fight or probably can fight, or, you know, nobody wants to take an ass whooping in front of all these people in Madison Square Garden. So I don't know. I thought it was funny as hell.
That's the thing is, like, LeBron obviously can't swing on Enes Kanter. He's like face of the league. Like, he's right. Also so important to everything the Cavs do. He's their best player. But Kanter, like, he stinks. Like, if he got suspended for six games, the Knicks would probably be better off. That just means, like, more Kylo Quinn, more William Hernan Gomez. Like Hornacek should have been on the sideline, like, punch him. Like, go for it. Like, do me a favor here, man. Yeah, I mean, I was on top of the world. I was so thrilled. I was like, I was getting pretty into the storyline, and then you just like see it come to fruition, like in MSG, where all the fans have been like so hype this season. And I thought it was crazy, like you're talking about, to see like the little guy Frankie. Like, I know obviously LeBron's probably less than a foot taller than him in real life, but he looks like on TV looks like twice his height, you know, especially because Frankie's like bent over with the ball and he's like looking up at LeBron, like LeBron just towering over him, this human giant. And
And it made it worse because my guy loaded up, right? He was just like, oh, I'm going to really knock LeBron on his ass. Like, oh, it looks worse when you load it up, bro. That made it look, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, I've got respect for the guy for just like going at, like, you know, that's just going to be a wall of muscle, you know, like you like as hard as Frankie tried, like he obviously knows he's not just getting through LeBron, but he went for it. And, you know, this 19-year-old kid, like, I'm not trying to, I wasn't trying to square up with LeBron James when I was 19, you know, so I had a lot of respect for Frankie. Enes Kanter's a goofball. I'll never understand why he's so fiercely loyal to like every team that picks him up. Like, you know, he was so loyal to OKC, and then they trade him, you know, they really sort of screwed him over, and then he comes to New York and is immediately right back into it, like talking about how he wants to play in New York forever when they're probably gonna dump his contract as soon as they can too. So
like, slow down, dog. Let's just take it day by day. Let's not
it was one of those moments too where, like, when Frank was in his way, you know, LeBron could have gone around him, but LeBron just stands there, kind of like, you got to get out of my way, young blood. Like, I'm good. And then, like, after Frank walks by, LeBron does that, like, new shoulder thing he does, you know, where, like, he, like, shakes the weight off his shoulders, like he's about to knock you out. It was definitely comical. And then, you know, Kantar, you know, with the king, queen, or princess comment after the game and everything. It's like he's got the short-lived memory that last year in the playoffs, he couldn't even touch the floor for more than 2 minutes because he's an absolute ability. It's funny. It's funny, the loyalty.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, let me cut you off. That yeah, Hornacek's probably like, man, if that had been me, I wouldn't let him talk to me like that. Like trying to get more minutes. It's like
he's like that
business man. We got
he's
you.
He's like that girlfriend after 2 weeks who's already saying like, I love you, don't want to spend the rest of my life. Like that's what Enes Kanter is. He's just that over obsessed like love of the love story. I can't believe it.
Changing the Facebook status automatically, right? He's like, relationship change. Like, hold on, just slow down. Give it.
We went on one weeks. Date.
Slow down a minute.
So, but moving on from there, you know, obviously everybody was irrationally excited for the game at that point early in November. But when you thought the Cavs probably would bounce back, you know, you piss off LeBron, it usually doesn't go well. But the Knicks were able to pick up a 23-point lead. Next thing you know, though, the lead's down to 15 in the fourth quarter. Kyle Korver lights it up. LeBron hits an ice-cold shot on KP's face, and the Cavs pick up the win. What were your thoughts on how they rebounded from the incident?
I mean, I think it's the blessing and the curse, right? And I know we got adjacent folks at Off the Glass that are that ride pretty hard for LeBron in Cleveland. So I don't want to offend any of my colleagues or anything, but it's the blessing and the curse, right, with the Cavs, because on the one hand, you have this huge win. It's MSG, subtweets all around, you know, East Ohio, you know, everything else. But like LeBron played a lot. And had to play really, worked really hard. Now the Knicks are improved, but they're not, you know, they're not Golden State, and they're not Boston, and they're not even Washington, right? So it was great that they found something that worked at the end of the game, a rotation that was working for them. But I just feel like they're working so hard in these games, especially LeBron. He's playing crazy minutes, and just trying to figure out
MVP. You know,
there you go. I mean, by default, right? He's going to almost have to be. And I liked it and it was fun in the moment. But I just feel every time I watch them, not every time, but increasingly I watch them in these games and these matchups. And I think, man, that's a sweep. That is Durant pulling up. That's Draymond, you know, hitting his shots, talking his shit. You know, that is Steph, you know, stunting on him. You know, maybe I'm just shell shocked from last finals. I'm like, nope, that's not going to work on Clay. You know, this is not going to. So I guess to answer your original question, I mean, I like the win, but I just still figure, and it's only November, but I gotta figure out something. I think they're still tweaking, still figuring out, and maybe I tease the answer in some of those respects, but I still don't think, I mean, I think they'd get swept right now if the final started today.
Jay, I'm glad you bring that up because I saw after the game, I think I saw a Sports Illustrated article to this effect, and some of the other takes were in this category of like, oh, this win, this comeback proves how dangerous the Cavs can still be in the Eastern Conference. And I was kind of like, let's just hit the brakes. You know, like this is still the Knicks, like you say. I do think that this Knicks team is overperforming their roster a little bit, but I think they're probably going to continue to perform it around this level. I like some of their pieces, but this is the Knicks, and like they really froze up down the stretch. You know, they really stopped playing their ball. Tim Hardaway Jr. kind of shot them out of this game. I felt like, I mean, obviously KP couldn't make a shot to save his life either, but I definitely felt like the Knicks lost this game as much as they won, and also, you know, definitely by any measure, the key to this game for the Cavs was Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver went supernova in the fourth quarter, and I don't know if you're going to be able to play him against the Warriors. I think he was an underrated defender back in his day in Atlanta, but it's not his day anymore. You know, like he's 34, 35, and I don't know if a guy like Kyle Korver can stay on the floor against the Warriors in the finals. So, or even against the Wizards in the conference finals, or the Celtics in the semis, or wherever it may be. I don't know how much they're going to be able to play Kyle Korver in a playoff series. And he's been one of their really key offensive players. And he was again in this game. So I found there to be as much to be concerned about in this game as there were positives.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with almost everything you guys said. I mean, this team is still nowhere near what the Warriors are, like not even close. And it's a win against the Knicks. It's that's really at the end of the day, all you have to say is that it's the goddamn Knicks. I mean, they're overperforming, but I mean, your best player is KP, and then your second best player is Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, Dwayne Wade was better actually. I think he had 15 points in that next game, so that's something to be, I guess, somewhat happy about. But at the end of the day, like you said, the Kyle Korver thing is spot on. I mean, that guy can't defend a Curry or a Clay or a Durant. I mean, he's pretty much useless in the finals. So, I mean, yeah, he can have his nice little regular season run where he's hitting threes. But when it comes playoff time, some of these guys just on the Cavs roster are just too old and ineffective against a young team like the Warriors.
Let me ask you guys this. Go ahead. Sorry. No, I was just thinking about something. Maybe I had a thought. So are we so sure that they are going to be in the finals against the Warriors? Do you guys give the Celtics a chance to take them out in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I don't give the Celtics a chance personally. I believe I actually wrote an article for OTG to this effect, sort of previewing the teams that have a chance to take them down. I don't really give the Celtics a chance. I think it's just too much youth. But I give the Wizards a chance for sure. As much as this team has sort of been unimpressive to start the season, I think they've got the talent. And I think they got the infrastructure to beat them. It's all just about like whether they're playing the right basketball at the right time. So we'll see. But I'm definitely not penciling the Cavs into the finals right now.
This is why the Boston fans were mad at you.
I don't think I could ever not take LeBron James in a best of seven series until proven otherwise. There's too much greatness in him for me to see a team like beating LeBron James in general, like 4 out of 7 games in the East, at least. The Warriors obviously is a different story, but like even that Celtics team, the youth. And then the Wizards, I mean, for the most part, LeBron James, whenever he's playing against the Wizards, he seems to play at one of his, highest levels possible. I just don't see any team in the East beating them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take LeBron over anybody if by, the end of the regular season, if in the first round of the playoffs, I see his defense come back to the level that we expect from LeBron. But after last year's playoffs, after this start to the regular season, I'm worried that he no longer has the energy, just has the gas left to do everything he needs to do on defense for this team while also playing 40 minutes a game, doing everything he needs to do on offense. Like, LeBron's been lazy on those closeouts this year, man. Like, if you watch the Cavs defense really closely, there's a lot of like he's hanging out 6 feet away from those shooters, and he's like barely putting a hand up when they're firing those threes. So that's my main concern with LeBron, is that he's gonna need to be peak LeBron on both ends to get this team anywhere, and he has not been so far, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think every day I probably lose a little bit more, lose a little confidence about the Cavs. They don't start playing better, but I think if they're healthy, it'll make a big difference. But you guys brought up a great point. You know, LeBron's playing a ton of minutes. How much do you think that's going to impact him come playoff time?
I mean, I think, as unscientific as this is, I think, he's a peak performer, and around that time, as he said in that article, after, was it 2015 finals, he's chasing ghosts. So I think he has another gear, another level once he gets to the finals, to perform in the playoffs. But at the same time, to use another, sports metaphor and cliche, that, Father Time's undefeated, right? And people say, well, you can't see any drop off on LeBron. And, that's not true. Like Corey and Jacob were saying a second ago, when you watch him close out, I mean, one, he doesn't really do it anymore. And I was talking on the Shuttlesworth Initiative pod, shout out to that pod, about how, back in, was it 2010, 2011, when the Heat were playing the Bulls, and he's having these moments in that series where he is locking up Derrick Rose. Like, he gets the Derrick Rose assignment back when we were talking Memphis, MVP, Derrick Rose, all the explosion, everything like that at peak Derrick Rose. LeBron is taking that matchup. And now he'll kind of symbolically go get Durant, but it's like, okay, maybe you're not going to stay in front of Durant, or you're not going to stay in front of Giannis, right? He'll have a moment where he'll get a chase down block. We're like, yeah, see, LeBron is still LeBron. But if you really watch the game and you look, he's not the same. That's where the decline is, right? I think he can, shoot 60% from the field for the rest of his career. I think he could transition to a power forward role and be, Draymond 2.0, with the playmaking and jump shot, and just be a beast at the four spot. Conspiracy theory, that's probably where he goes out west to Los Angeles and let Paul George play the three, but that's another pod or another discussion topic. But, I think those minutes will take a toll. They'll just have to, right? I mean, we're going to let IT chase Kyrie Irving for 7 games, or, It's just at some point, right? You got to, and he's got city miles on him, right? He's been playing since he's 18. People go by years or by age, rather. It's like, oh, well, he's only 32, 33, but it's like he's been a pro since he was 18 years old. That's a lot of freaking minutes on that body. So,
and all the trips to the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's now played as many regular season games as Jordan, you know, as that was like a big conversation the other day. And, you know, and he's been to the finals 7 years in a row, which it's now at the point where every time I say that he's been to the finals 7 years in a row, I'm like, is that wrong? Am I saying that wrong? Is it six still? Like, that's such a crazy number that he's done that. But I'm worried about the minutes taking a toll on him a lot. I was like, I don't want to be too dramatic here, but I was just, you know, thinking about the Cavs the other day and how many of the like 2013 like Dwight Howard Lakers vibes I'm getting from them. Yeah. Mainly just in the way that LeBron is still as great as he's always been, sort of just like Kobe was in that season, but he's playing way, way, way more minutes than anybody at his age or his point in the league should be playing. And, you know, Kobe ended that season with blowing out his Achilles. Now, that's not going to happen to LeBron because LeBron never gets injured because he's a superhuman. But I do think it's going to take, you know, a similar degree of effect on his body. And I also think, you know, as Jay just alluded to, I think he's out of here in the summer. So why is he going to, like, risk injury? Why is he going to give his all on both ends when he, one, knows that this team can't beat the Warriors, and two, knows he's probably leaving, in my opinion, to Houston. But again, that's another pod for another day.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, I've got all the inside connections with LeBron.
add that noise. Say the breaking news alert in the pod. Make sure you get that in there.
I do love the 2013 Lakers reference because that's what this season kind of reminds me of for LeBron myself. I mentioned on the Full Access Hoops podcast I do for OTG as well. He's got to play all these minutes, and you know that's what I mean. That last season, the 2013 season for Kobe, I mean, Kobe was a freak that year. I mean, he did everything he could to will that team to like an 8 seed, and this Cavs team has that same kind of vibe so far. You know, they're supposed to be a super team on paper, yet there's just that one MVP and star kind of leading the way every night. The minutes definitely is concerning, like you guys mentioned, 7 straight finals. Even last year, I think for the most part, he was top 3 in the league for minutes played or something like that. And it's just going to keep on tearing. I mean, I don't – with how he takes care of his body and you know, he puts like millions of dollars into his body to keep it to the shape it's in, he could be the first player to just defy logic, I guess. We can all think that, right? We can be stupid and think he won't ever break down or whatever regress. But it's – there's definitely some kind of concern.
Well, yeah. I think because he's just working so hard, right? Like you watch a Warriors game, and that's one thing, you know, when that's why I thought, you know, Melo would help Cleveland or Jimmy Butler. One thing that, you know, it's not that Golden State has so many great players. They obviously do, and the great coaching staff, but the game is just so much easier with better players, right? And I feel like LeBron is just working so hard. Like when you watch the Warriors play, the game looks easy to them. Or for them, rather, and they're still getting everyone's best punch every night, right? But it's just an easier game. And Durant has pretty much said that. He's on the record of saying, like, I don't have to, you know, Russ's turn, my turn. And we try to figure this thing out in OKC. Like, it is just so much easier to play the game with better players. And I feel like LeBron is working super hard to, you know, to beat the Knicks and the Bucks and whoever else of the world. In the Eastern Conference. And I think that's the part that concerns me. It's not even – now, if he's on the floor, you know, swinging the ball around, whipping around, hitting threes a la Golden State, then, yeah, it's not that big a deal. But, I mean, he's earning those minutes and those points and those Ws for Cleveland. So that's the part I think that is really concerning.
Yeah, I mean, no wonder Kyle Korver's been so important to this team. He's like the only three-point shooter LeBron's got to pass to. You know, obviously Kevin Love as well, but Jay Crowder hasn't been able to hit a shot this year. I'm a huge fan of Jay Crowder's, but he's been really bad. And then the rest of these guys they brought in, your Dwayne Wade, Jeff Green, Derrick Rose, you know, like these guys can't shoot. And like that's the most important skill to have when you're playing offensively with LeBron, because that's all you really need to do is just stand there on the perimeter, give him space and wait for him to pass to you. And he doesn't have those guys to pass to. So he's got to be frustrated for sure.
I still laugh when everyone was like, this is the best team LeBron James has ever had. Because this is not the best team LeBron James has ever had. But that was so like heavily driven before the season started.
Right, for no reason, too.
Yeah, just bizarre.
Like, there's no defense. There's no threes. Like, it's not a good fit.
It's one of those LeBron has no excuses this year. And then the season starts. Well, what's wrong with the Cavs? We just don't understand. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing people would say is like, oh, well, this team would be great if it was they got a time machine to like 2011, you know, when all these guys were in their prime. But I also don't think that. Like, I think this team would still be a really bad fit if like all these guys were in their prime. Like, I don't think Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade could play together in their prime because like both those guys needed the ball in their hands all the time. Like, sure. And then you got LeBron. That was back when Kevin Love was still chubby, so he'd be even worse on defense. So, and that would present a lot of problems too.
I was like the time machine defense. Like, well, 2011 is like, really, that's what we're going with? That's what you want me to buy season tickets for? That in 2011, this would have been awesome.
At least Jeff Green had a lot of stock back then, right?
People at least still really thought good. Jeff Green was dead. That they were wrong, but at least the optimism was still there.
You're talking about right now.
I'm a sucker for Jeff Green. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, I still buy that stock, man. I know I should just cut bait, but Jeff Green will have a game. I'm like, yeah, Jeff Green. That's what I'm talking about.
I still enjoy the occasional Jeff Green game, but then I'm also just like, man, this guy's made every team he's ever been on worse. So at a certain point, you got to cut bait for sure.
But to get back to that Knicks and Cavs game, we got to talk about the best part, and that's post game. So Cantor calls LeBron, whatever he calls himself, a king, a queen, a princess. We're not going to let anybody punk us. LeBron responds. He says he is the king. His wife's the queen. His daughter's the princess. Next day on Instagram, he posts a picture of himself over the New York Knicks logo. And it says, you know, you're welcome. King of New York. Hashtag my favorite playground. Dive in.
Ah, my guy Cantor, I love you, bro. It's just so the post game was weird, and we kind of went over during the game, but I guess this is technically during the game, happened during the game, but this thing I was thinking of was also post game was my guy Peter Vesey with his Biggie reference in his tweet, which I thought was problematic. as the resident Negro here on the pod, like, I will be straight up, like, I wasn't offended. Like, I think these things swing both ways violently. Like, on the one hand, people, you know, scream snowflake and tell folks to get over it, and then on the other hand, you know, people write think pieces about every time someone is slighted or offended, and I don't think either of those are necessarily the right approach. I mean, I saw it and I was just like, ah, bad look, Peter Vesey. That was my thought, but I was like, ah, I really loved you on the NBA and NBC back in the day. But that was strong, man. But anyways, to your original question. I mean, Cantor was, first of all, he was close. He was getting into territory because he was kind of going, you know, you're a woman and this is what we think of women. And, you know, he got close and people kind of chuckled. And luckily, LeBron is known as the king. So that worked and he kind of avoided that controversy, or otherwise that's what we'd be talking about today, the backlash from those comments. But I mean, it's hard to say. It's weird. Like, we didn't get punked, but you gave a 23-point lead. Yes, you did. Like, you did. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I did punk you. I literally did. That's exactly what I did. Like, what are you talking about, Willis? That is what happened. And like we were saying earlier, like, Cantor is so ride or die, and it's like, but bro, you lost, man. What are you talking about? And like we're saying, you might get cut later and all that, you know, not to take a knock at him because he could destroy me, you know, face to face. So I'm not even trying to throw shade, but it's just like, man, that was a weird, I don't know. You got beat up in the fight. It was like, well, I still got some hits in. It's like, yeah, but we had to give you salt smeller to get you up. Like, what are you doing? So, I mean, that just put a perfect bow on the evening. That was just a great dovetail to what had been going on prior to the game. And last thing on the Instagram post, I mean, I feel like New York is kind of, we were talking about girlfriends and exes and things like that. I think New York is that girl that they thought LeBron was going to take them to the prom and he didn't. And so they've just been jilted ever since. And it's like the 10-year reunion and they're like still pissed at LeBron. It's like, look, man, you know, maybe he was coming in 2011, 2010, but he didn't. So, you know, let's just get over it. You got Chris Stapp. Let's just, let's move on. All right. So, I mean, that's my thought on that.
Yeah, I agree. But with New York, it's like, why did you ever think he was taking you to the prom? You know, like LeBron wasn't coming to New York in 2010. That garbage team. That was so silly. It'd still be holding against him after all this time. Anyway, in regards to the little post game trash talk, I thought, as with most trash talk, it was pretty corny. It was some pretty weak bars from both of them that like got a little blown out of proportion because we're always looking for something to talk about on NBA Twitter. I thought the king, queen, princess thing is like, all right, that's a pretty like playground level trash talk, you know, got a little misogynistic undertones like Jay was discussing. And then, you know, LeBron's little comeback, like that's another one of my favorite LeBron qualities, is that whenever anybody's talking trash to him, he's always so quick to bring up his family for some reason. Like, you remember in the 2016 finals, there was the thing that came out in, I believe, Brian Windhorst's book about that whole thing, that LeBron called him the B word. I don't know what the policy about swearing on this podcast is, but that Draymond called LeBron.
We've blown past it already. So you're
okay,
good.
Okay, great. Draymond says to LeBron, "You're a bitch," and then LeBron says, "I'm a family man. I'm a father of three." And it's like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, you're playing basketball. Like, let's focus on basketball. But no, I thought that was like a fine enough comeback. It's like, yeah, that's cool. You give a little compliment to your wife and your daughter, and then the whole King of New York like Instagram post, it's like, again, you just came back from 23 down against the Knicks, which is like, you were down 23 to the right. Knicks. You know, if you're like, if you're really chasing Michael Jordan's ghost, if you're really like considering yourself to be one of the greats of all time, which of course he is, but if that's really the context, like, let's not get crazy about winning a regular season game against the New York Knicks. Like, right. LeBron said last year, like, somebody asked him, I believe it was before the big matchup he had with the Celtics, when the one seed was sort of up for grabs at the end of the season, and they were asking him how important the game was, and he was like, listen, man, I've been to 6 straight finals. Like, if you're looking for someone to get stoked about a regular season game, like, that's not me. And now to see just 6 months or so later, like, how quickly things have changed. Now LeBron's getting all hype about this regular season game just because, like, some 19-year-old French kid shoved him. Like, I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Well, I think when you realize you're not going to win a chip this year, you got to get excited for other things, right?
So he's
got to switch priorities a little bit. I definitely think the comments were, you know, they're comical. It's that little back and forth, you know. Cantor's that like kid in school who, like, jumps around from friend groups too. Like, I don't know, like he just like has to have this. I just like the king, princess, queen comment to me was just so funny. It's just like, who are you talking to? Like this guy's got multiple MVPs and rings, and you barely can play on the court. It's just all jokes. And of course, you know, LeBron posted that thing, you know, the King of New York, my playground. And I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, he's always dominated at MSG. It's definitely one of his top five, like, best arenas, I think, like, per his career, of him playing in there. And I still saw Knicks fans saying, like, it'll be his playground next year when he joins.
Oh, yeah.
Like, shut the hell up. Like, he didn't even go into New York. God, man.
Well, there's a rumor going around, and in basketball Twitter is ripe for these, right? That part of the reason that LeBron goes so hard in on Phil is because the Banana Boat crew was going to land in New York. That was actually the destination. This Melo was going to be there, and the crew was going to end up in the Big Apple, but Phil was kind of like, nah, I'm good, and put the kibosh on it. And so that's part of the reason that, you know, how true that is. I mean, I have no idea. I can't imagine those guys. I can't imagine LeBron going from, you know, Dan Gilbert to James Dolan in terms of ownership. So that was one of the conspiracy theories out there. It's like part of the reason that Phil sort of nixed the plan and kept LeBron's posse off the Knicks roster.
Yeah, those comments too.
I would have been interested in a Banana Boat plus KP team, though, in New York. I would have been. I'm not saying they would have been good, but that would have intrigued me a little bit more.
For sure. I mean, Kristaps is looking good. He's going to be our next point. Obviously, LeBron, he knew posting that Instagram post, it would troll the shit out of New York. All anybody talked about yesterday was how mad they were about that, and they were talking about in Hot 97, and like 52% were like pissed off about it. But that's my next question: is Kristaps Porzingis the king of New York?
I mean, he's got to.
Or
fight
do you have to
cancer.
Win a playoff game first?
I think he's got a shot. Well, you know, default. This is tough. I would say, okay, so I'm not in New York, so you guys can, you got the pulse of the city better than I do. Just king of New York. Like you say New York, this guy's the king. I'm going to say, irrespective of season and time of year, I'm going to say it's Aaron Judge right now. So not Chris Stapp quite yet, but I still think, you know, at its core that New York City is a basketball city. So if you're wheeling and dealing for the New York Knicks, then I think the city is yours more so than even wearing the pinstripes to a certain degree. So I think he has a chance. I think that he's shown on the positive and on the upside that without Melo there, without, you know, God, I love Melo. I really love Hoodie Melo, but without the ball stopper that he is being there on the court, Porzingis' game has sort of taken the next step. But the other side of that is, I think, is, you know, now that there's no one really to look to and say, well, you know, it was Melo's fault. Like, that all falls squarely on his shoulders now as the face of the franchise. But I props to him and I think his brother, who's kind of doing the sort of Lothian Rich Paul thing or where he's kind of yeah. making the power plays, right? Props to them for, you know, kind of coming out already and saying, look, the Knicks will have to, you know, show and prove in terms of getting this roster to something that the Chris Stapps can work with and that the city can be proud of. So I like that early power play so far in his career. But on the court, yeah, I mean, I think the guy is strong. I think I'd still probably take Greek Freak, obviously, maybe Embiid as well over Chris Stapps, just in terms of upside. But he's right there. I mean, guy's a stud.
For King of New York, I mean, are we talking just sports here? Like, whatever happened to Jay-Z?
Yeah, we're just talking sports. Yeah, we're talking sports.
Talking just sports, then I got to agree that I think Aaron Judge might – I don't know. I'd be interested in, like, if Aaron Judge and Chris Stapps, like, both walked into a bar, both walked down Times Square, like, where are the masses flocking, you know? I do think since Aaron Judge has got the little playoff run under his belt, he's got a pretty interesting case. But, I mean, Chris Stapps is well on his way. Like, you know, you see how quickly the city gets, like, attracted to the Knicks when they're relevant at all. Like, you know, sure. You can already hear it in MSG, as I alluded to earlier, how crazy they go for Chris Stapps and, like, how crazy they go for this team whenever a big shot gets hit. So, like, you know that it's Chris Stapps's, like, throne to take, you know, as soon as he's ready. And I think if this team's, like, still over 500 in a month, then it's going to be pretty hardcore, you know, Chris Stapps fever in New York.
Yeah, I think it highly depends on the time of the year, because I do, like you guys both said, you know, Aaron Judge kind of took baseball by storm this year. He already won Rookie. It's not a Wookie award. That's not a thing. Sorry, Star Wars fans. Rookie of the Year. He won, like, the Outfielder Slugger of the Year award, his Silver Slugger award. He might win MVP even. You know, Chris Stapps hasn't really won anything yet. He hasn't been in the playoffs yet. So I wouldn't say someone who hasn't. Like, Eli Manning is more of a king than Chris Stapps at this point. He has two titles, I think. I just think you have to do a little bit more if I'm going to say you're a king. And that's a pretty high crown.
In Eli's case, I think you do still have to be above average at your sport to be the king, though, because, I mean, Eli's pretty awful at this point. Then again, I am a Patriots fan, so I am a Patriots fan, so I may be bringing a little bias into out of the table here.
Yeah, I would say I think you guys made a great point. Aaron Judge, definitely right now. KP, if he gets the Knicks into the playoffs, I think he'll take that throne. Like you guys said, like, basketball is just so big in New York, and especially in the city, and MSG just gets so live. So he's able to get them in the playoffs with this team. I mean, I'll be honest, like, a lot of us going to the season thought this would probably be one of the worst teams in the league, not, you know, bottom 10 for sure. And now they're looking a lot better than what we thought. But like you said, they're overperforming. I expect them to calm down at some point, but still really surprising.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with that. But that wraps it up for today. Guys, thank you for hopping on. And if y'all want to give a shout out to your podcast real quick.
So I am hosting with my friend Chris Green, the Shuttlesworth Initiative podcast. We are a little bit of pick and roll, a little bit of pop culture, talking hoops, talking shoes, movies, TV shows, comic books, Twitter, whatever else it is under the sun. That's what we're doing there at the Shuttlesworth Initiative podcast. Our goal is to try to get Ray Allen on as a guest at some point. So the only way to find out if we do that is if you tune in and listen.
Yeah, I've got a podcast as well called The Rebuild. You can find us on iTunes, find us on Stitcher. We drafted some teams earlier in the year, and we talk about them every week. So yeah, give us a listen.
Yeah, I host the Full Access Hoops podcast with my two co-hosts. We talk about hoops. We bring in a little bit of music and movies as well. Pretty much like a lounge type of talk of hoops with your buddies type of feel.
Yeah, definitely check out all their pods. I'm obviously the host of the NBA Outlet, and I'm also host the Brooklyn Buzz podcast. Great podcast. You can find them all on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio for the OTG ones. So everybody, thank you. Have a great night. And as always, thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys.
Ciao.